10 a.m. Welcome to Ham Radio and More, the program that specializes in amateur radio in the valley and around the world. Whether you're already a ham or have always wanted to be one, you'll find out about interesting events and issues regarding amateur radio. Your host is Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW. To get in touch with Lynn, call 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. That's 1-800-293-KFNN. Ham Radio and More is brought to you by AEA Incorporated, Wallpaper World, and Ken Nichols. Now, here's the host of Ham Radio and More, Lynn Winkler.
CQ, 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 Arizona, and welcome to Ham Radio and More, the only show of its kind in America. I'm your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW, and today's show is sponsored by Wallpaper World, Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Auto Mall, Antennas West, and AEA Incorporated. Our phone number is 241-1510, 241-1510, or in DX land where we'll pay for the call, 1-800-293-KFNN. If you have a club announcement, a question about amateur radio, want to talk to my guests, or even want to buy or sell some radio gear, give us a call and get involved in the show. My guests today are going to be Morgan Hoagland and Mike Henry, and we'll be with them in a moment. Listen next week for a most interesting show. My guest will be Todd Lefkowitz, N7PMP, and Todd is a very recent three-time champion on TV's Jeopardy show. We'll talk about Jeopardy as well as discuss Todd's ham interest in weather facts, shortwave listening, and satellites. And we may even play some Jeopardy trivia, so be here for that. And the following week, my guest is going to be John Moore, NJ7E. We'll have a little different format on Super Bowl Sunday. We'll kick it off with something interesting, so listen in on the 26th. We'll discuss some of the hot issues facing amateur radio today. Last night was the monthly transmitter hunt, and I was fortunate, I thought, to be along. And we had the largest turnout that Arizona has ever seen. We had 9 teams hunting and, of course, 1 hiding, so that made 10 teams participating. And it was quite interesting. that my group didn't do too well. In fact, I think we came in 9th. But that was because our Doppler system didn't exactly point in the right direction. We were supposed to go north and we went south. But anyway, be that as it may, the winning team was the Squelch Busters, which was Bill Alton, WB7STL, Barry Mead, N7MQX, and Darlene Grimes. And it was amazing. The transmitter hunt started at 7 o'clock prompt, and they found it by 7:17. So in 17 minutes, they were able to drive to, it was hidden in a park under a bridge in a very moist area where I fell down and clutched it, I am, and have the scars on my knee and my arm to show for it. It was very interesting. They found it in 17 minutes. It took us about 40 minutes. And the second place team was the team of the Jumping Jacks, with Bill and Mickey Jergelski and Bob and Jackie Nevey. So if you weren't there, if you didn't take part on the transmitter hunt, again, we go the second Saturday of each month at 7 o'clock sharp. And in February, we're going to start at the corner of Thomas and Scottsdale Road, Checker Auto parking lot, and you should definitely be there. Next week, we'll also discuss the DX Award Banquet that occurred last night. And now I want to introduce my guests. I have Morgan Hoagland, WW7B. He's been a ham for 7 years. He's a co-SISOP of AZCTL, Arizona Control. He's vice chairman of disaster communications for Central Arizona Chapter of the American Red Cross. and he's extremely active in the local ham community, and many of you who know him know that he is. Welcome, Morgan.
Oh, it's nice to be here, part of the growing show. Thank you.
Okay, and Mike Henry, N5 AQM, first licensed in 78 in Biloxi, Mississippi. And he was in the Air Force. He was very active in Air Force Mars. And he lived in Houston for a while. He was active in National Weather Service Skywarn. He moved to Arizona in 83. He now works for Intel Corporation. And I know Intel is busy sending all the 486 chips to KFNN so we can use for our computers, right?
All over the world, that's right.
Okay, and all over the world. And he enjoys camping as well as running portable QRP Amtor from remote locations. And your wife also is a ham, so do you want to say hello to Marissa?
Hello, Marissa.
I knew you'd say that.
So. Of course.
Okay. All right, well, let's get on with what we want to talk about today, and that is Amtor. What is Amtor? Let's start out with, let's discuss what is Amtor. I know it's a means of communication. What exactly is it?
Well, Amtor primarily is a offspring of years ago of teletype and stuff like that. One nice thing about Amtor that you don't have with teletype is it is error-free, and it is primarily an HF mode of operation. You won't find too much Amtor. In fact, you won't find any Amtor on VHF, UHF. It was originally used by ship-to-shore called Cytor. And Amtor is a spin-off for amateurs, and Amtor stands for, it's an acronym for amateur teleprinting over radio. And it is a mode that works extremely well in noisy conditions, extremely well in the low signal conditions.
So an obvious question is, why does it work extremely well?
Because it is error correcting. It is error free. In other words, when a lot of you guys have listened on the low bands and have heard the chirping, and that's the station's transceiver going from transmit to receive back and forth. And
oh, is that the chirping noise we hear as Amtor?
That's the crickets you hear on Amtor. That's right.
I always thought there was something in my transceiver making that noise. You know, I had little insects or something.
Yeah, and the beauty of Amtor is that it is error-free, and it works so well down into the noise, where a packet, which does have its place on HF, and a lot of you guys out there will find that HF packets getting a little frustrating because most of the activity is BBSs and things like that. Many times I've connected to a BBS calling CQ and have been immediately disconnected because it is a BBS and I'm not, and it recognizes that somehow. So for the person who likes to go on and do digital modes, Amtor is definitely the way to go. And I guess we will get into the reasons for that over teletype.
We will. Before I forget, I'm going to digress for a moment. Morgan, you were at a meeting that was held yesterday in Casa Grande, weren't you?
Yeah, I sure was.
Could you tell us a little about that?
It was a meeting that was largely promoted by Dan in 7MRP. And it had a lot to do with trying to get the node operators, bulletin board operators, TCIP people, and anybody interested in packet networking, as it were, to get together, see what each other's doing, and the possibility is arising that may form an organization, a technical group known as ASNET. It was a lot of the impressive doers, as I'm going to call them, down there in Casa Grande. I'm sure glad that Dan took the time to put a meeting together, and I think it'd be nice to be watching out there for something called ASNET, and I think the users might do well for the possible outcomes of this group.
There was a good turnout?
Very good. It, like I said, it really snowballed. We had people from New Mexico, Sierra Vista, Douglas, Sonoyta, Tucson, Havasu, Phoenix, so people are getting interested in seeing this packet network grow and work smoothly.
Okay, so I wanted to bring packet up because most of us, or many of us like myself, are very familiar with packet. I mean, I'm on a 145.11 all the time. I mean, my set is set up, my TNC is always on there. And yet, as you were saying, Mike, there is no Amtor on, or you're not familiar with any Amtor on VHF. And why is that, do you feel?
Well, actually, I think it's because of the AmTOR is primarily an HF long-distance mode, and a lot of the radios don't have the turnaround time, the constant transmit-receive turnaround time required for AmTOR. The VHF, UHF, FM transmitters just don't have the turnaround time, basically, to handle the requirements of AmTOR.
And packet on HF just isn't feasible unless you have a really good signal. Propagation is absolutely right.
Usually it takes an S7 or better signal to get a packet through, whereas AmTOR have worked many a station where I cannot hear any discernible audio in there, but yet my TNC sees it and we are communicating.
Okay, so and the reason for packet not working well on HF is, we were discussing it earlier.
There's so many. Multipath will knock a packet tone out quicker than anything in 300 baud. A lot of times we have too many stations on one frequency. There's a lot of collisions that occur to that. Just a minor fade could cause you to lose 80, 160 characters. You only have to lose one part of that character to lose the whole packet. As to where AmTOR will only miss three characters. I think we're getting into some of the hardware why AmTOR is a little bit better, mm-hmm. is that AmTOR sends three characters at a time, and that includes spaces. So if we do lose one, we're only going to lose a part of it, and it's going to keep chirping along there at a steady rate. It is a little slower on the overall, but we're going to get that.
It keeps trying until it gets it right.
Now,
right.
We discussed now with packet, if I'm talking to somebody locally or whatever, and I'm sending a signal out, and he's sending a signal out. We're both sending we're trying to talk to each other. You can't do that on AmTOR. You've got a certain, one's transmitting only.
That's right. That would be one side of the story, is that you're on packet, you have a chance for more than one pair, three pair, five pairs of people talking can kind of share the frequency as long as they hear each other pretty well. AmTOR does not offer that mode. However, it is very narrow in the sense of how much spectrum it uses on HF. So in a lot of sense, if we're out there using filters on 20 meters, you might be surprised how much we can get in 10 kcs of bandwidth. As to where packet bandwidth would be required a little bit more. So we do get a little bit back from the narrow bandwidth of AmTOR.
And it takes about how long to get a line of copy on your screen on AmTOR?
Well, I was taking some rough estimates of that. If you've got a good link, I think you could get an 80-line column in about 20 seconds. Would you agree with that, Mike?
That sounds about correct, yeah. On error-free transmission, in other words, no retries whatsoever.
And packet on VHF packet, that could be within 4 seconds, probably.
It can be fast, yeah, but a lot of times there's a lot of traffic, there's a lot of collisions on 2-meter packet.
Well, we're going to talk about AmTOR and RDI, and we're going to forget about VHF and UHF for a while. We're going to discuss that basically. Well, it has to be said, if you want to do AmTOR, you're not going to be able to do it as a no-code tech.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
I think it's a good incentive to get your tech plus, because HF is where AmTOR is going to really be worthwhile. We hadn't mentioned it yet. There is some RTTY 2-meter activity in town.
No, we didn't get the RTTY yet, so let's hold off a minute and do some business here. Help pay for the show. You're listening to KFNN 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN. And by all means, give us a call. The experts are here. If you have a question on packet, they'll answer it. But in AmTOR or RDI, they're here to answer your questions. If you want, we'll explain how to get started in AmTOR, et cetera, in a couple of moments. I was going to talk to you today about the great caring service that you get when you deal with Ken Nichols of Lindebrock Auto Mall. I was going to mention that he sells all new vehicles, any brand, any model, and all at the lowest prices anywhere. I was going to tell you that it would be a mistake if you go anywhere else for a new vehicle. But you know, I spoke to Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ, on the phone just about 2 days ago, and he told me a story that really sums it up and says it all. I've said many, many times that Ken Nichols, who is the fleet manager at Linda Brock, actually does sell cars at rock-bottom prices, and that people come from all over the country to buy from him locally. All over the United States, they purchase from Ken. So, we're really fortunate to have him here locally with us and his unique savings plans. But last Tuesday, Ken went one better than even I ever mentioned. Ken got a call from a lady in Germany. She wanted a new Dodge Caravan, and Ken made a time to call her back the next day to give her a price and a few suggestions as options that she should have that she wasn't sure if she wanted or not. And she agreed to three or four of the options the next day when Ken spoke to her. And she actually ordered the van over the telephone from Ken Nichols. So now I guess he's an international salesperson. And since that time, she sent in her deposit, and she'll be in the States in a few months to make a stop in Phoenix just to pick up the van. So when I used to say people came from all over the United States to buy from Ken, I'll now have to change that and say Ken sells cars to people all over the world. So join the crowd and see why Ken Nichols is fast becoming a household word when it comes to buying a new vehicle. That's Ken Nichols, 228-2336. 228-2336. Fleet prices direct to you. 228-2336. I wanted to mention, before I forget, that the ASU, the Arizona State Radio Club, will have its first meeting of the spring semester on Thursday, January the 16th. It'll be held on the third floor of the Technology Building on the ASU campus near McAllister and University Drive. The club is growing quickly, but they need more members, and everyone is welcome. For more information, you can contact Orion Watts at 894-2681, 894-2681, or listen in the club repeater, which is located on 147.38. The time for Thursday's meeting, 5 p.m. Okay. Next, what is RTTY? R-T-T-Y.
Okay, radio teletype, as it's referred to, or sometimes BODO, really very similar. We're just talking about some history and the development there when we differentiate between the two. Very active these days. The contest was last weekend, and believe me, it was a lot of transmissions going on.
Oh, there was a contest last weekend?
Yeah, there sure was, an AWRL-sponsored contest, and yeah, I had a lot of fun with it because it allowed me to work with some of my software that runs my PK-232, and it was able to load in lots of text files like the Exchange 59 Arizona, of course, and it's kind of nice doing a contest in that mode because you save everything to disk. You don't necessarily have to remember anything. You just simply have to make sure that you're copying okay at the time, and if not, ask the guy to repeat. So the contest exchange is real quick, and lots of good countries were represented, and lots of activity.
So are you going to win an award?
No, I think I probably, to be honest with you, entered it more for the enjoyment of getting familiar with my software and running RTTY and giving out some points for Arizona.
Okay, let's discuss a few other individual topics so that we know what we're talking about. What is BODO?
Well, I think that really is just a terminology that we...
That's another name for teletype, RTTY.
Okay, and ASCII?
Very similar to teletype in its format, and it is sent the same way as teletype as far as just a stream of bit characters. But the two are not compatible.
It's not correcting either as well. It just is a broadcast.
Neither teletype or ASCII are correcting in any way. It's just a stream. If you get it, fine. If you don't, tough luck.
So the growth is definitely an AmTOR.
Most definitely. I've been on AmTOR for a little over 3 years now, and it is really starting to explode. It's one of the most misunderstood modes, and more people are beginning to realize the advantages of AmTOR over teletype and way over packet on HF.
Okay. And we'll take one more definition. What is AppLink? That's a term that I've just been hearing a lot lately.
Yeah, AppLink stands for AmTOR Packet Link, and it's in some ways similar to a BBS on 2-meter packet. However, you communicate with the AppLink station on HF AmTOR, and you can direct mail over to the national packet side. That's what it means, Amtor packet link. Or you can also forward between Amtor to Amtor station, AppLink to AppLink stations, as well as sending a message. For example, my father lives back in Pennsylvania. He's W3ZBY. And there's a AppLink station in Delaware, which I can drop mail off there to him, and it is automatically forwarded to his BBS there in the Philadelphia area. And it gets there extremely fast. Within an hour, it's usually sitting on his bulletin board.
Okay, so, like, I know that my bulletin board is, home BBS is K7BUC. He takes it in packet. I send a message to my friend in Illinois, let's say, and he changes it to Amtor and sends it. Is that I know he's mentioned that to me, because then what I'm getting to is that certain characters, I guess, that you put into packet can't be transferred over onto Amtor.
That is correct. Amtor right now in its present state does not support lowercase and exclamation points and a lot of the characters, the ASCII character set that packet supports. It's coming, though. There is some new stuff on the horizon, that's going to be enhancing Amtor that'll give you the full character set support other than what it has right now.
What are some of the things that you can't send on Amtor?
Oh, explanation points, colons, all your uppercase stuff above your numbers just don't work except for your question mark.
And that's just because of the software that's being utilized?
Actually, the firmware and the TNCs and the operating mode is what it supports. It was originally designed for basic communications over rough conditions. And that's why it was so popular with Ship to Shore, and they're still using it today.
Okay, Nick, W7ZMD, welcome to Ham Radio More.
Good afternoon, Len.
Good afternoon to you.
I couldn't resist trying to clarify or straighten out the question you asked about what is Baudot. Let's just say Baudot and ASCII are both RTTY submodes. Baudot is a five-level character set, which means there's five bits that basically form the characters. And ASCII is a seven or eight-level, or actually it's a seven-level character set. And that's really the difference.
Okay.
There's definitely a difference between Baudot and ASCII. And Baudot was the earlier character set that was used with the original Western Union teletype machines and all that sort of stuff. Baudot, or ASCII, the newer version, is the 7-level, and it's more current and actually includes all the characters that they were just discussing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, I just thought I'd add that.
You try to throw that in.
Right down to the bit level, right, Nick?
To the bit level.
That's right.
Well, you know, that now we know, right? Okay, well, I thank you, Nick. Let's discuss now the new person or who just passed and got their new the Tech Plus, which means they passed the code. And now they can go, where should they go to do Amtor? Where is the action?
Well, I think 10 meters is their obvious choice because they are allowed there and they're going to get some HF propagation when the band's right. We found a lot of activity, Mike and I were discussing on the way over, on 10 meters between 28-100 and 28-150 in general. Probably most active about 130, 28-130. And we found a lot of Amtor in there. A lot of Baudot, and it's a nice mode. 10 meters is a little less noise from time to time from the standpoint of man-made static and atmospheric noise as opposed to like 40 meters at night. So therefore, a lot of times 10 meters, when the band's open good, can really be a fine band for this kind of communications.
Okay, we're going to discuss that individual and what they need to do, or me, for instance, what I need to do to be able to get my TNC to start talking to someone else's on Amtor. I don't I don't know how easy it is or how difficult. I'm sure it's very easy, but we'll discuss that in a moment. You're listening to KFNN Radio, AM 1510, and our number is 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN. And let us do a trivia question right now. And this is a very simple one. Now, if you've won in the last 30 days, you cannot participate. So if you've won 60 days ago and you want to win another T-shirt, you're welcome to call and win a Sundrop T-shirt today. So, again, our number 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN. And it's a very simple question. You want me to ask it or do you want to ask it?
I'll go ahead and ask it.
Okay.
What is the baud rate on 10 meters for Amtor? What baud rate does the mode run on 10 meters?
Okay, so what is the baud rate on 10 meters for Amtor? And our phone number, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN. Since we're here today talking about RIDI, Amtor, Bordeaux, and other digital modes, it's appropriate to talk about the world's leading multi-mode controller. With more than 50,000 units sold worldwide, the PK232 MBX is the top product in its field. The 232 combines all amateur data communication modes in one unit, including Morse code, Bordeaux, ASCII, AMTOR, HF and VHF packet, WeatherFax, receive and transmit, as well as commercial standard NavTex, automated marine information services. The internal modem can transceive packet at rates from 45 to 1200 baud, with the option of an external modem for rates up to 9600 baud. The modem can copy shifts from 85 to 1500 hertz in two different ranges, and the internal software includes special features such as signal identification and acquisition mode, which is known as SIAM, which automatically identifies Bordeaux, ASCII, AMTOR, and then measures the signal speed and the polarity. Then all you do is enter a simple OK command, and the 232 strats the data display. Starts this data supply. I wish I could read, Ro. Also, the 18K Pac-Mail mailbox with selective control of third-party traffic is now a standard feature. The 232 really excels in HF packet. And, you know, you're not getting paid to say this, Morgan, but if you're going to do AMTOR or RIDI, which of all the TNCs out there do you consider to be probably the best on the market?
Well, I can honestly say in that price range, PK-232 is going to be your first choice. And that's been that way for quite some time now.
Yeah, it has a much better front end than what the 1278 does. I own both units. I have a 1278 and two PK-232s. But the 232 seems to outperform just a little bit. It's not a dramatic difference. But when you get right down to the nuts and bolts of getting down to the noise, the 232 seems to pull it out just a little bit better than the 1278 does.
Well, I have a competitor, and I certainly have had trouble on HF packet, but it may not be the TNC. okay, well, I'm glad that you guys like the 232. Another nice feature about the 232 is the front panel push buttons to select radio one or two port. I know on mine, I have to go into the command mode and push radio one or radio two if I want to change from one to the other. So on 232, there's just a push button. That makes it a lot easier. No need to go into the command mode like I do on mine. Add all these features up and you will agree the PK-232 MBX from AEA is the controller to have. See the 232, and it's in stock, or at least it was, at Ham Radio Outlet at 17th Avenue and Camelback here in Phoenix, or you can call AEA Direct for a free merchandise catalog. And their number, 1-800-432-8873, 1-800-432-8873. And I spoke to someone who called that number last week, and I'll tell you, they give you a lot of information about AEA, and then at the end you leave a message as to your name and address, and they'll send out the brochure. That number again is 1-800-432-8873. Give AEA a call, and go to HRO and see the lineup also. Okay. Well, I think we have a winner Welcome, Hank, to Ham Radio and More.
Hey, good afternoon, Ben.
And how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine.
And so I heard you went on a transmitter hunt yesterday.
Well, I didn't win.
Oh. Well, you used a very interesting antenna array. What did you use? You may not have won, but you were there before we were, and I just want to point out how easy it is for someone to get involved. You used what?
Well, we only had here laying around was a Delta loop for 440, and it worked as far as pointing out the direction. However, at the speed we were traveling down the streets going up to the big guys there, that antenna never had a real chance to prove itself. However, we did pretty good. One of our team members, Diane, N7UZD, seen the can where the transmitter was in and knew what it was. Another young fellow spotted it first, but didn't recognize it as the hidden transmitter.
Oh, really?
So anyway, Diane was the person who found the transmitter for our team.
Well, John found it for our team. We were, I think, eighth. Okay, what's the answer to the baud rate for AmpTor on 10 meters?
It is 100 baud on 10 or all the other high-frequency bands.
Right, that was a trick question, so Mike said.
Very good.
Yeah, real good, Hank. How you doing? This is Morgan. You guys are sure active. I might mention I ran into Betty, Hank's better half there on AmpTor just this last week. So obviously an active couple there, Lynn.
Oh, very active. I mean, they came all the way from out in East Mesa, basically, to participate in a transmitter hunt that starts on the west side of Phoenix. So they're very active, and I hope they enjoyed themselves.
Yeah, Hank, we just didn't trick you on the trick question there. You didn't fall for that, huh?
No, because we've been very new at this here lately, and of course, you know, I've been using the SIAM feature quite a bit to trying to determine what signal we actually were listening to, and 100 baud always comes up as a list when we're listening to AmpTor.
No comment, any comment.
Yeah, the 232 is really good for users to use that mode. And if you're not sure what you're hearing, it takes a while to develop an ear for what mode you've got there. And the 232 can help you identify that type of mode that you're hearing. So that's what Hank's talking about there.
Well, Hank, you're going to get another Sundrop T-shirt. I think you won one a long time ago, right? Okay, well, you're going to get another one. And again, Sundrop is Arizona's Goodwill Ambassador, and it's always cheery. And I think my son's wearing his T-shirt today. And yet, there he is, nice Sundrop there. And their phone number is 275-7450, 275-7450. And thank you, Hank, for listening and participating. Well, I appreciate that, and everybody is invited to participate. It's truly one of the few sports or athletic competition left. I wasn't very good at it as I fell and broke my leg, but anyway, we'll talk to you later, Hank.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. All right, so I got my TNC. I'm in the AmpTor mode. I'm on 28, would you say 120 or 140 or something?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm tuning the dial, and I hear some chipmunks or some crickets out there. What do I need to do?
Okay, a couple of things that we might have left out here at this point. You obviously need to get your cell call in there. A cell call is an abbreviation of your call. And to get that in there, it might be it would take us too long to talk about exactly how to do that. So you want to look in your manual and see that out.
In determine a lot of cases, what your cell call is.
Yeah. You usually just drop the number. In my case, WW7B, it actually ends up WWWB.
And I am NAQM is the cell call. It's a four-letter call, no numbers.
So anyway, regardless of if we get into that too deep, you do need to read your manual and figure out what your cell call is. Some of your software will do that automatically. Once that's in there, you, if you're going to listen for people calling CQ, they're most likely in AMTOR going to be in FEC mode, in the broadcast mode, which means you need to be in AMTOR standby mode. Once you're synced up, you'll see bright bars to the left and the right in the usual tuning fashion of the 232 and others. And then when you get some sync characters, is that what
it's called? Yeah, the TNC needs to see a series of idle characters
idle
before
characters.
It will sync up.
Do you recommend that the first person listen for a CQ to respond or to send out a CQ? Which do you think would be?
Well, the best thing about what I recommend is actually tuning around and getting the feel of receiving AMTOR signals both in FEC and in ARQ. And we might want to point out that most of the manuals that I've read that come with the TNCs all say upper sideband. Well, that's not true. The gentleman's agreement on all the HF bands is all lower sideband. You can run upper sideband, but you have to reverse your tones. all the activity is on lower sideband on all the bands.
Really? Okay. And you said ARQ? Is that what you said?
ARQ is the mode where two stations are linked up. ARQ stands for Automatic Request Send. And, for example, when it's getting one of the three-character cricket bursts, if a error occurs, or if your TNC detects an error in that signal, your error light, first of all, will light on your TNC, and your TNC will send back to the other station, please send that again. It'll request to send it again. And it will continue to do that until it gets it right, and then it will move on. So that's what makes it nice in really poor signal band conditions and high noise and stuff, that it keeps trying those three characters until it gets them correct, then it will print it to your screen.
And if you have a general license or above, where's the real activity in AMTOR?
On 15 through 75 meters, you can find, well, not 75, but on 15 through 40, you can find it just below the packet area on 070 to 080 is the AMTOR. Band. That's where the majority of the activity lies. That's the band plan.
Okay. What type of software do you guys use? Do you use, for your 232 AEA software?
I use PC Packret and also LandLink.
And do you find advantages one over the other? Or?
Yeah, maybe I can address that. Might mention there's also AccuTerm and some others out there. Camtronics has their own. Software is really a big benefit. I still recommend that a person start out with a station with an IBM clone machine of that type. They're coming down astronomically in price. I think we were talking about that earlier, Lynn. And so if you can see yourself to getting a clone, then you're going to get the benefits of the software. Some of the benefits that I've seen is in AMTOR, for instance, it's pretty much when you're linked with somebody, they're either sending you data or you're sending them data. It does not occur simultaneously. Therefore, it's kind of nice to be able to type ahead. So you're receiving data from this other party. You can type ahead as long software helps out facilitate that. So you realize what some of your answers to his question are ahead of time. You type them out. So then when he turns it over to you, you're not stuck right there typing at sending out data at your typing speed. You've actually allowed a little more QSO to go on because you've got a little bit ahead of you, and then you've got a little bit of room to type. And also, when you're typing in AMTOR, if the link is right at your typing speed, it's sent out everything you've typed. You can't correct it. You cannot backspace if you have a typographical error. So, which gets to be interesting. There are some options in software and firmware to help out with that. We've mentioned one here, WordOut. If you have your word out on, it'll only type or send the data once you've completed a word and then hit a space, you know, you've gone on to the next word. So that does give you a chance to backspace in some cases and correct that word.
We recommend putting word out on. It really makes a difference.
Okay, now we're going to go to W7ZMD Nick's Corner, and today he's going to be discussing, he's going to be reviewing the, what's he going to be reviewing? He's going to be reviewing the Kenwood 450. So, Nick, take it away.
Thank you. Corner, this week bringing you the first of a series on the Kenwood TS450 HF transceiver, the successor to the very popular TS440. This unit was provided for evaluation by the local ham radio outlet located on the northwest corner of 17th Avenue and Camelback. Thank you, Gary Judd. The TS450 is a modestly priced HF transceiver with a lot of performance in a package that measures about 11 by 11 by 4 inches high. This unit can be purchased with an automatic antenna tuner included within the body of the radio. Due to its small size and the digital stability, this rig would make a nice HF mobile rig. This unit requires a 12-volt power supply with more than 20-amp capability. Note, if used in the vehicle, direct connection to the battery is very important for the power that it requires. It might be worth mentioning that for use as a receiver only, a 12-volt supply of only 2 amps will power it adequately. For someone considering getting involved in HF radio, amateur radio operation, or anyone interested in just listening to the shortwave broadcasts, this unit without the automatic antenna tuner, that's hard to say, and with a very inexpensive power supply will provide plenty of exposure with very high quality performance. Later, after you get your amateur radio license from the FCC, the additional expense of upgrading to a larger power supply and the addition of an antenna suitable for transmitting would be the only additional expenses. The instruction manual for this unit is very complete. It provides pictures of the front panel with control settings and explanations for how to set the controls for operation on each of the modes. For the experienced ham, this is overkill, but for the new ham who is not familiar with the terminology and general operation of an HF transceiver, this manual will be very helpful. Also provide the installation instructions and a package with a power cable for connection to a power supply or battery, and a set of connectors for use with external accessories. The instruction manual included with this unit contains block diagram, interconnect diagram, and schematic diagrams. It can receive and transmit AM, FM, CW, FSK, lower sideband, and upper sideband. The unit contains a touchtone pad for direct entry of a frequency input. The unit has two VFOs which can easily and conveniently be selected for either receive or transmit function. This unit has a lot of features which are controlled by 40 switches and 12 knobs. It also has provisions for computer control via a connector on the rear apron. It contains a receiver which covers from 30 kHz to 30 MHz. With a modest antenna, you can hear signals from around the world. The transmitter is capable of 100 watts of power output on all amateur bands 160 through 10 meters. The power level in all modes can be reduced by using the power control knob. This is important when used with a linear amplifier not requiring the full 100 watts of drive. Otherwise, the amplifier would be overdriven and become nonlinear. When receiving, this unit has versatile selectivity choices. There are two IF frequencies and each has a front panel control to allow the choice of filtering to be used. This combined with the IF shift knob should provide adequate selectivity and versatility for all but the most serious operator. There's an interesting knob labeled M.CH/VFOCH. As set from the factory, this knob allows quick frequency change very conveniently. One quick turn of the knob will change the operating frequency over 200 kc's in 10 kc steps. An added interesting point, the AM broadcast band can be conveniently tuned with this knob. Because AM stations are assigned frequencies in 10 kilohertz increments, simply by turning this knob, the stations can be very easily located. It's almost like using a channel selector on a TV. This covers the highlights of the new TS-450. Next week, some of the details of the receive operation will be covered. Till next week, thank you. This is Nick's Product Review Corner, presented by Nick Sues, W7ZMD, phone number 992-4133. Amateur radio equipment repair is my business and is located near 40th Street and Bell Road. Again, the phone number, 992-4133. Now back to you, Len.
Thank you, Nick. You're listening to KFNN, 241-1510. If you have a question in the last 15 minutes, give us a call, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN. Listen closely. This is for real. Never before, and I mean never before, has this offer been available. Starting tomorrow, January 13th, you can buy the best-known name in custom blinds, Levalure, at savings never before offered anywhere and only at Wallpaper World. Go to Wallpaper World, the stores that have been in the Valley since 1977, and you can buy Levalure custom aluminum blinds in over 250 colors and your choice of 1/2 inch, 1 inch, 1 3/8, or 2 inch slats, all at a legitimate 75% off the manufacturer's suggested retail price. That's a full 75% off. And if you buy four or more, Wallpaper World will install it for you absolutely free. This deal will not last forever. So act now for the top line in the industry at the lowest prices ever offered, 75% off. This is a Levalure factory authorized sale, and with free installation thrown in, it is savings like never before. Also, Wallpaper World has beautiful custom wood blinds and large 2-inch slats on sale at 62% off, and vertical blinds at savings of up to 80% off. So start the new year off right. Take a ride to your nearest Wallpaper World. You'll be amazed at all they have to offer. All the name brands and more. And Levalure at an amazing 75% off. That's Wallpaper World, with six great discount showroom locations to serve you. Call 272-4788 for the location nearest you. Or more information, 272-4788. Wallpaper World makes selecting decorating products an enjoyable experience. Welcome, Ben, to Ham Radio and More.
I'm interested in trying to find one of those old SEN keys. I think it's called a J38. The one I learned on in the Army years ago, and I want to get up to stream on code so I can pass the code test.
Okay. Want to give us your phone number?
954-8783. And also, what I'd like to do is, I'd like to talk to someone who knows this BBS packet stuff. I work, do BBS types of things on, computers like Commodore and clones. And I hear you talking. I just caught the last little bit of your show.
Okay.
About this seven-level code stuff. And I want to do a time exchange, have them teach me about all this neat stuff on radio BBS, and maybe I can help them a little bit on computer stuff on the computer side of things.
Okay. If anybody has the, what was the key number you were looking for?
J38. It's the one that I use in the Army.
Okay, a J38. Call 954-8783.
Also, anything else they might have lying around loose that they might want to sell to help someone get started in this.
Okay, and Morgan has a response for you.
My ultimate goal was to put a BBS on the air. It may take a year, but that's the plan.
Okay.
Okay, on this BBS subject, I might be able to help you out. Yeah, it takes a year. In fact, I like that approach because it's experimental and it takes some time. I have an excellent resource for you, and that would be Dan, N7MRP. He's very active because he's been working on his BBS for the last year, and he's very easy to reach on 147.38, 147.38, the new ASU repeater, and he is the control operator for that frequency. I think he'd be a lot of help for you as far as starting the BBS. I wanted to add, too, We were talking about the bit level here. Don't worry about the actual protocol or the actual exchange of packet. It's automatic for us.
And I have a 7-level binary code system that might be handy on this. Like this, you know, you use only basically a hex code, and you can transmit anything in binary, so you can pick it up and it's neat for sending stuff. So.
Oh, very good. Well, 8-bit is supported on packet on 1200 baud VHF today. So really, we're at that point. So I think you might. You know, it's going to bring you right into what you need right away.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, Ben. Well, thanks for listening and participating.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, with the time left that we have, we need to talk about some of the parameters involved with AMTOR. You want to take that?
Yeah. There are a number of parameters in the AMTOR set, but some of the ones you really need to be concerned about, and we talked about word out, which makes operation a little bit easier. Another very important one is wide shift. That needs to be set to off. That'll keep the mark space shift to just 200 hertz, and that's what everybody runs. Ease in is another parameter that needs to be set on, and that will allow your transmission as it is being sent out to be echoed to the screen as it is sent. So you know what the status of the link is, you know what the other station has received with the ease in on. And another very important parameter, depending on what kind of a transceiver you're running, is the aid delay. The aid delay is simply a delay from the time that your transmitter keys up to a data actually being sent out, and that is measured in milliseconds. It's not very fast. Some of the older radios, like a TS-520S, need to set the aid delay up to about 4 or so. And these newer solid-state digital readout radios, that can be down to about 1 or 2 without any problem at all. And the reason for that is you have to give the relay time, the mechanical relay time to energize on on the older rigs. If you don't do that, you could toast a relay. But there's a lot of people out there running the older rigs on AMTOR with the aid delay set up with a lot of success. I run across a number of guys running 520s and the old Yaesu 101 series and stuff without any problems, and I don't think you need to worry about it cooking the relay or anything like that. They seem to work very well, and they're very chirp-free on the air.
Chirp-free?
Chirp-free.
I like that.
And those are basically the parameters you need to be concerned with to get started, and also the MyCell or your cell call needs to be entered in there if you need to, if you plan to do any QSOing.
Okay. You wanted to mention, Morgan, the QST ARRL survey that's taking place. That's very important to digital mode.
Yeah, I sure do. Brian W5BBO brought it up to me, and I certainly agree with him. We're at a critical point in digital communications in amateur radio. The ARRL has leaded the FCC into what we thought was the best for amateur community and the bands in general, and they'll continue to do that. And the time has come now for digital communications. On page 41 of January QST, you'll find a survey there. I'd like everybody to look at it carefully, fill it out. It's important to all of us. I will give you no biased opinion either way. It's up to you how you fill it out. It is on unattended operation below 50 megahertz. So we are talking about HF packet bulletin boards, HF nodes, AMTOR mailboxes, PAMs, personal AMTOR mailboxes, etc. So once again, I just want to simply say it's important, and let's give the ARRL, you know, the right feeling how we have and feel about it.
And that's in January's issue.
Yeah, that's this month.
Okay, so help out the digital cause and make your opinions known. In the right way. No, whatever they are. Okay, last piece of business. Do you have your own tiger's tail yet? Do you have one, Mark?
No,
well, you should. When I meet many of you, I get asked, what is a tiger's tail? Or they look at mine and say, my goodness, what does it really work? I mean, does it do all you say it can? What's the number to order it from? Again, well, it's about time you really listen to what I say about the tiger's tail. Write down the phone number, use your pen, make the call and order one, or you can order a couple. The phone number is 1-800-926-7373. 1-800-926-7373. 7373. Antennas West is the supplier of the famous Tiger's Tail. A Tiger's Tail attaches very easily to the antenna post of your handy talkie. It weighs almost nothing, doesn't get in the way of anything. It costs less than $8 delivered to your door. Now listen up. The Tiger's Tail will increase your receive and your transmit by at least 2 to as much as 6 dB. It really works. I've tested on a spectrum analyzer, as so many others have. In fact, I received a message just last week from a ham that just got one, and he said it really does work. He was amazed. So really, don't delay. By using the Tiger's Tail, you can even put your HT on low power and still get out as if you were on high power without one, thus extending the use of your battery. So give Jim Stevens a call at Antennas West. Tell Jim you heard about the Tiger's Tail on Ham Radio and More, and he'll give you a special price. Order one today. That's 1-800-926-7373. 1-800-926-7373. Antennas West. Okay, N7MRP Packet Bulletin Board has an active AmTOR app link directory available. You want to tell us a little about that?
You bet. It's maintained by Brian W5BBO, and Dan keeps an eye on it, of course. There's a lot of neat hints in there, AmTOR operating hints, app link lists of frequencies.
Broken down by band.
Yeah, there's all kinds of ways to search these type of frequencies information. There's also information on up-and-coming modes.
What frequencies are?
Dan's bulletin board is probably most easily reached on 145.11 N7MRP, and it's also available on 145.05, and if you can't get to it that way, you can always use the Arizona Central AZCTL node to get into it that way.
Okay. And, okay, he's got lots of stuff on his bulletin board, my God. What is Clover 2 that the Hale Corporation is talking about? Is it, we have a couple minutes.
Okay, very good. We haven't really talked about the other ways to do AmTOR. Since we mentioned Clover 2, I'll talk about that. I wanted to also say that there's also Hale Corporation has AmTOR cards, CAM Corporation, and, of course, MFJ. Still my favorite set 232, though. We'll throw that in there.
Thank you.
But there are others available, and Hale does make some nice units. Hale is on the cutting edge a lot of times with the new stuff out there. They are making something now called Clover 2. There are people in the beta testing modes with this. It is a, the first word I'm going to use is a very dynamic digital unit. It is dedicated to getting stuff over HF almost at any cost, in the sense that it will adjust its protocol if it needs to, its actual baud rate. It's dynamic under the conditions. It will even turn its power down or up if it's having trouble with multipath and so forth. So it's something to kind of keep an eye on. They were out at the Southwest Convention this last time, and they had presentations on it. It may be one of the ultimate HF ways to communicate, but it is very dedicated, and probably for the very dedicated SISOP who's willing to spend a unit on a dedicated unit. It won't do AmTOR, and we're not talking about AmTOR with it. It's very much a digital long-haul communications. It might be one of the most noise-immune things that we've seen in a long time, and at least that's their goal.
By the way, since you mentioned convention, the Spring Ham Fest is March 21st at the Scottsdale Community College in Scottsdale, so mark your calendars for that. Mike, did you have something that you wanted to...
Yeah, the time we have left, I'd just like to add that if you get a chance, give AmTOR a try. It is by far a lot of fun on the HF bands. You meet a lot of nice people. A lot of rag chewers are out there.
And you don't need much power.
And you don't need much power. I do most of my AmTOR QSOs all the time on 5 watts. Sometimes it might take 50 watts to get the link on, but as soon as the link is established, I drop the power back to 5 watts or less and continue on with the QSO with absolutely very little retries and stuff. So there's a lot of things we haven't covered that we would have liked to, but unfortunately the time does not permit.
No, we only get 60 minutes, actually.
Yeah.
55 after the news.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, Mike Henry, for being here, and Morgan Hoagland. And I want to thank all my sponsors, of course, Antennas West, Wallpaper World, Ken Nichols, and AEA Incorporated. Remember, listen next week when my guest will be Todd Lefkowitz. We're going to find out how to get onto Final Jeopardy and win like he did. How much did he win? You'll have to listen next week if you didn't watch. He was a three-time Jeopardy champion. So, until next week, this is Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and we will be clear. 73s, Arizona.
73s.
73s.